have absolutely no idea if this is going to work.
Let's hope it does.
Okay. You ready for episode number 2 of season number 2?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Hi, and welcome to second episode of season 2 of Conversations with Myself.
A journey of self-discovery.
I'm Brent, and with me, as always, is the Chewbacca to my Han Solo. This is Xavier. Say hi, Xavier.
Hi.
So it's been about a month since our last episode, and I got to admit, originally, when we set out to do this podcast, I don't know about if you feel the same way, but originally, I thought we'd do more episodes more frequently, but then we started doing these video recordings, and then I would edit the video, and I'd put pictures and things like that in it, and then I'd upload it to YouTube, and pretty soon it became kind of it became work. Hence our episodes are spaced out a little bit more. Before we get into today's episode, which is going to be a lot of fun, and we'll explain why we're set up like this if you're watching on YouTube, I thought it's been a month. We need to catch everybody up on what's been going on in our lives. So what's been going on in your life?
I just blanked.
So Xavier has nothing going on in his life.
Oh, I know. I'm on the tennis team.
So you started practicing for the tennis team, right?
Correct.
So when's the season start?
It's going to be in March.
And we hear, because I haven't seen you out there practicing, but I hear you've made vast improvements and you're making strides in the right direction.
Yep, except we're not really actually doing tennis. It's been raining the past few weeks, so we've been indoors doing conditioning.
Well, that's important, though. I mean, you got to be conditioned to, you know, be out there and run around and get to the ball. And conditioning is important. And yeah. I hated the conditioning part. I don't know about you.
Oh yeah, I hate it. I feel like all of my bones are broken and my rib cage is fractured. So.
Well, that's because you normally just sit around on your butt all day and you don't do anything.
Exactly. I'm glad you realized that.
You got a haircut a couple days ago. You don't look like Justin Bieber anymore.
Yes. No, I do not.
So anything else major happening for you?
Don't think so.
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet lately. We went through a really busy period and things kind of slowed down a little bit. So, not much happening on my front, I don't guess. We got a new, Henson Hill has a new show coming up. It's going to be in Dyersburg on April 18th. It's for the Diane Jordan Lemons Scholarship Fund, which is Aunt Pooh's mom. They set up a memorial scholarship, so we're going to be down in Dyersburg for that. Should be a lot of fun. But other than that, we're just kind of waiting for the time change to happen and spring get here. This is a special episode. It's kind of cool because we're recording on Leap Day.
Yeah, we most likely won't upload it on Leap Day. It probably won't be able to get uploaded on Leap Day, but that is still pretty cool.
Yeah, you do the work, and then you can upload it when you want to upload it. Yeah, you sit back after he leaves this room. He's like, all right, I'm done. Congratulations.
I'm the star.
Yeah. Recording today. Congratulations to Jenny and Lee. They're getting married at Discovery Park tonight. We're going to the wedding.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right. So today's episode should be fun. It's something that we talked about for quite some time. We've mentioned it on earlier episodes. And I honestly don't know how this is going to turn out. It could be a total train wreck because last night I tried to figure it out. And I did everything short of cussing. I was so angry. I was having Xavier try to help me with this, figure out how to record phone calls into a podcast. So today we're going to attempt, we'll see how this happens, to talk to my good friend Ray Asensio. Now before we bring on Ray, I want to give you a little bit of background about who Ray is. He and I both grew up in Flint, Michigan. As a matter of fact, we grew up just like 4 or 5 blocks apart. Double check once we call up Ray. I grew up on Bennett. I can't remember which street he grew up on. We went to the same elementary school. We graduated from Flint Central together. And it just so happens he started a podcast last summer. And it kind of was one of the inspirations for me to start a podcast. And Ray's always been really supportive of a lot of the stuff that I do, whether it's in radio or what have you. So
cool.
Yeah. So we're going to attempt to see if we can dial Ray up and we'll see if we can get a phone call, our first ever phone call episode.
Nice. Maybe if we get a live stream, we can get a call. We can get callers on here that are live.
You've got a lot of big aspirations for Kato doesn't do a whole lot. I should mention that Ray is the host of his podcast, which is D Sweet Nation. So, like, sometime in the middle of July 2019, which was last summer, I noticed that Ray launched his very own podcast. It was called D Sweet Nation. And then one day at work, I decided to pull up the first episode and give it a listen just to see what Ray was up to. And the first episode featured an interview with another one of our childhood friends, Randall Scott. So I was really kind of curious to hear about their conversation. And I mean, I was genuinely entertained and impressed with the back and forth dialogue that Ray and Randy had. They both played on our high school football team back in the early 90s, Flint Central Indians, a team of which that in 1993 would go undefeated in the regular season, only to suffer a heartbreaking loss to Westland John Glenn in the AA semifinal. And the cool thing about that is that Randy and Ray talked at length about the events about that game, some stuff, stories that I'd never heard of before, the mindset of the players going against the grain of what they normally did. It was really, as a listener, an engaging exchange. Plus, Randy is a diehard Cubs fan. He told a really cool story about seeing the Cubs in the World Series. So at the end of that episode, I thought, you know, I think I'd kind of like to do something like this. So after brainstorming a few ideas, I came to Xavier and I asked him, hey, you want to do a podcast with me? And a couple of weeks later, we had conversations with myself up and running. So since he was one of the reasons I decided to figure out this whole podcasting world, we wanted to find a way to bring Ray onto our little podcast and talk a little bit. Ray, in case I didn't explain this, lives up in Michigan. We're down in Tennessee. So I had to watch, as I mentioned, a lot of YouTube videos and do a lot of screaming last night in order to figure out how to get a phone hookup so we could record everything.
Yeah, but that was really fun. That was really fun to listen to.
It was a rough night.
I bet.
But I think I finally got it figured out. So it is my pleasure to welcome my friend, a fellow Potter Panther and Flint Central Indian classmates. Please give a big conversations with myself. Welcome to Mr. Ray Asensio.
Oh, man. Rick, I really appreciate that. And let me tell you guys something. I've watched all of your episodes, and I've watched them all more than once. And I'm going to tell you what. Your guys' format, the way that you guys do it, you guys have the best podcast show in the world. I say that from the bottom of my heart. I really believe that. I believe my podcast is the second best, but you guys, I actually one time watched 7 episodes straight where I ordered a pizza, went and got a pop, and just sat back and enjoyed watching your show. I love watching your show, man. The chemistry that you guys have, you and Xavier. I mean, I can't believe how smart that kid is, man. You guys are funny, man.
See, you're only supposed to say that stuff to me. You're giving him a big head now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, it's very educational. I've cried a few times when I've watched it, especially the episode where you was talking about the CD that you made for him right before his 13th birthday. I love watching your show. I'm a big fan, and I'm very, very honored that you included me in today's show. I really am.
Well, I'm so glad that we're able to figure this out. I'm like, normally I'm a little anxious when we record these podcast episodes. I'm worried about the audio levels and things like this. I've taken it to a whole different level that I'm like mixing in a phone call. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. So we're just going to cross our fingers and just jump off the deep end. How's that sound?
I think the fact that you're the one that's behind it, I know it's going to work out. So I trust in Brent. So it's going to work out.
We'll see. All right. So just to catch everybody up, normally on our podcast, Xavier and I pick a topic and we go through kind of a Q&A session about the subject. And then we give our thoughts. Xavier gives his from his 13-year-old perspective. I give mine from my 42-year-old perspective. This episode is going to be similar to that. But this time around, we're going to kind of turn things over to Ray and Xavier. I thought, just kind of brainstorming, it'd be interesting to have Xavier ask Ray a few questions about me and our childhood. Uh-huh. That way he can get kind of an outside view on who his dad was growing up, because, you know, he only hears the stuff I tell him. And, you know, of course, I'm going to pretty up that story. Ray can kind of give you the real truth. And then we'll turn the floor over to Ray, and you can ask Xavier questions or me questions about the podcast, being a dad and son, whatever you want to do. We'll leave that up to you. But I'm only gonna chime in when necessary for clarification purposes. I'm going to kind of turn this over to you and Xavier. So I thought we'd let Xavier go first, and he'd start asking some questions. And then after he's done, we'll turn it over to you. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me, Brent.
All right, I'm going to sit back, listen to you guys, and I'm going to drink my cool, refreshing Mountain Dew.
Cool, refreshing Mountain Dew.
Here's Xavier.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Xavier. That's how you sound at the beginning of every show. Hi, Xavier. What's up, buddy?
Sup.
Okay. Do I have an accent? Do I have an accent, Xavier?
It's hard to say.
Hey, we'll answer that a little later on. I probably have an accent because I'm from up north.
Hey, you said pop earlier, and I picked up on that.
Oh, okay. Xavier, okay. Man, you got some good questions about your dad?
Yep. Okay. So for my first question, do you remember when you met my dad, and were you always friends?
Okay, I met your dad. I have a good memory, just so you know, because I've lived my entire life drug free, so I have all my brain cells. I've never done any drugs, so it's going to sound like I'm making stuff up because I'm able to remember things. Now I do remember when I met your dad. I met him in the first grade outside because I think when we were in grade school, I think we were only in one class together the entire time, which was fifth grade. But I met him outside playing when we were in the first grade. Your dad was the only first grader that was as tall as I was. Your dad was he was always a nice kid. Everybody loved him. I don't recall him ever having an enemy in the world. I think when anybody that went to our school, when they meet him, they're either his friend or they wish that Brent was their friend because he's the all-American boy. He's a good guy, and we have always been friends, and I don't have any bad things to say about your dad at all.
Aww. Well, I can definitely see that.
Well, thanks. Oh, yeah. I appreciate that. And that's what I always say is that you're very genuine. That's the trait that I love about you. You're just honest, and you're gonna tell it the way it is. You're very genuine.
I do my best. I learned that from you, Brent, because you know when we were growing up, you know you were a straight shooter too. You know, You're the kind of guy that, you know, someone has to earn your respect. You know, you would tell somebody where they can go back then. I learned that from you, man. My strong backbone. You're one of the guys I learned it from. Believe me.
maybe it's from being an only child. I don't know. I guess that's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
For my next question. So you answered the first part. What kind of person was he in elementary school? What kind of person was he in high school?
Okay. In high school, you know, obviously we've always been friends. We were friends in high school. We kind of went our separate ways in those 4 years because I was, you know, like the jock. And, you know, I was with the, you know, the football team and the basketball team, you know, all the time. And Brent was a trumpet player in the band. And Brent used to do, you know, theatric type stuff. So he was busy doing that, and I was busy doing my thing. But in high school, as far as, like, characteristics, the way that he was, pretty much is, like, the same way that he is now. Like, as I watch your guys' podcast shows, you know, he's a very no-nonsense kind of guy. Will, you know, let you know where he stands. That's the way he was back then. He still has his humor, which I see, because I laugh all the time when I watch your shows. He was like that back then. He's got a creative mind. He's very intelligent. He was like that when we were kids in high school. You know, he was at, you know, the top of our class, as all of our Potter friends were, you know, very intelligent growing up, you know, everybody except me. You know, because we have like a clique of friends from our neighborhood, and we're, you know, we're very clicky, you know, And I'm not as smart as they are, but Brent is very, very intelligent back then. You know, serious individual.
I think you sell yourself short on a lot of things because, I mean, you keep our group of friends together and connected. And I mean, you inspired me to get this podcast thing going and you took the initiative on that. Don't sell yourself short on things. And your athleticism is, you know, beyond where I would ever be. So that, you know,
same.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know, but you know, you were, sometimes I think that you were born in the wrong generation because it seems like even though we were born the same year, you know, you always had the maturity level of someone that was like 5 or 6 years older than when we were growing up. You know, you're very beyond your years, man. You might have been born in the wrong generation, man. Very smart. Like the way I see like how you're doing now, I mean, it doesn't surprise me because you're the kind of guy when we were all younger, we knew that, you know, like shortly after high school, you would meet the love of your life. And you would be with her for the rest of your life. We knew that however amount of kids you'd have, we knew that they would be great kids. We knew that you would be loyal, hardworking. So everything that I see that you have, it doesn't surprise me because you've worked for every single thing that you have. Kind of like what you told Xavier in the Thanksgiving Day podcast when you said, don't take for granted, you know, what you have, you know. And you work very hard for all of that. And, so Xavier, basically the way he is now is that's the way he was 30 years ago. It's just, you know, he's basically the same person, straight shooter, very smart, does the right thing. You know, he's the kind of person, and what I'm about to say right now, I don't really say this about anybody. He's the kind of guy that, like, I would trust with, like, my property or, like, my checking account or something. I mean, he's the kind of person you can trust with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's just, you know, I've only seen him twice in the last 25 years, but as I watch your guys' shows, I've learned some things about him, and but he's still the same person. So that's what I think of him.
Okay. When he was, like, in high school, what did he look like?
He was,
and feel free, hey, warts and all, buddy, I remember what I looked like, so it won't bother me.
I'll tell you what he looked like. He was, let me see, I'm 6'3", so he was somewhere around 6'3", somewhere around there. He had his hair parted right down the middle. His hair was parted right down the middle. He's good looking. He was a good looking guy. He, I mean, he basically looked like a 6'3" Xavier, basically. He was very skinny, though. He was very, very skinny.
I tell Xavier that. I'm like, Xavier, you are me made all over again, so.
I know.
He tells me
that
a lot.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It is so, I mean, that's one of the million things I love about your show, because I just feel like I'm watching two Brent Hensons on there. But he was tall, skinny. He was always busy, you know, with his studies and theatric stuff. And, but no, tall, skinny. And I remember his hair parted down the middle. And, every time I picture him in high school though, there's two things I picture. I picture him wearing that red and black, marching band outfit. And I, for some reason, I don't know how this made the yearbook, but I can picture him, putting shampoo in his hair in the shower. Which
we did, I'll have to show you this. We did a day in the life photos for the yearbook, and I got volunteered to be the one where I had my shirt off in the shower. I had shorts on, but they took the picture to make it look like I was taking a shower.
Yeah.
I did that so in that, Bigelow's what, house. Yeah. I'll never forget that.
That's what he looked like in high school, Xavier. Skinny, I mean, really, really skinny. Perfect teeth. Good smile. I mean, good looking guy. I mean,
yeah.
What can you say? I mean, he was the man. He was the man.
Yeah. Okay. If you could describe Dad, like, so what kind of person would he be? Like, for example, was he the popular kid, goofy, nerdy?
In high school or before high school or like when? Like in high school?
Yeah, high school.
Like I said, Brent in high school, he was kind of more of a serious individual. Like when he was with, like, say, like, you know, Jason Smith or Brett Dargo, you know, you kind of see more of, you know, more of a fun side of him. But I just, you know, he just, I seen him with, like, suit and ties on a lot. He was just like a serious individual. I mean, he looked like a teacher growing there when we were going to school there. He, like I said, Brent is in high school, I think in high school and then after high school. If your first impression to him is a bad one, he won't have anything to do with you. I mean, he's just got command presence. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, is command presence, because Brent isn't the type of guy that you get cute with back then. You don't get cute with Brent Henson, because like I said, back then in high school, he was a nice guy. And when I say, you know, like tell you where you can go, I don't mean like in a violent way or like swearing and all that stuff. Not like the way that I would do it. But Brent, he just doesn't tolerate nonsense. He don't tolerate nonsense. So if you're a friend of his, you should count your blessings that someone like Brent Henson considers you a friend. He's just, when I think of him in high school, I just think of someone that was a real serious individual that always put his priorities first. I mean, there's just no other way to explain him. Very serious, very smart, ambitious. He was a good influence. He was a great influence on me. I don't have any dirt on Brent, but I've been trying to think of like, man, what could I say? But no, I mean, everything is good. That's just the way he was back then. Well, command presence.
Yeah. I think a lot of those traits continue on today. Hopefully I've gotten better in some areas, and there's some areas I still need to work on. But, I just remember being, just being kind of, I was an only child, so I was kind of a loner in high school. I didn't really, you know, I just kind of did my own thing sometimes, I think.
Yeah, you did. I remember one time, man, I'll never forget this. I was actually kind of scared. I remember we were seniors in high school, and I went over Aaron Searles' house one time at like 8 o'clock at night, and you guys were doing homework in the living room, and I didn't know you guys were doing homework, and I got the evil eye from Brent. I'm like, uh-oh, I'll come back tomorrow. But yeah, but I was actually like, oh, dang it, how come Aaron didn't say they were doing homework over here? But yeah.
Wait, what?
But no, Brent, yeah, I'll tell you what, let me put it to you this way. I know Brent will remember this. Just to prove that everything I said about Brent is correct, let me put it to you this way. The last time I seen Brent, which was in 2017, when him and Mandy, I didn't get a chance to meet you that weekend, Xavier, but I met your mom that weekend. That was the day that, remember me, you and Becky and Hope and all them and Smitty and all them, yeah. Amber and all them hung out.
Yeah.
Well, here, now, usually when I get like the gang together, whether it's my Potter gang or whether Brent Henson's in town or my football guys, usually 99% of the time I'll have on a hoodie. You know, I'll have my hat on backwards, you know, high top tennis shoes. You know, I'll wear an extra tight shirt so it looks like my muscles are bigger than what they really are. But when Brent was in town,
dressed to the nines.
That's different. I was suited down, Xavier, when he was in town. I put on a shirt and tie, and I combed my hair.
Wow.
I combed my hair when Brent was in town.
I'll show you that picture.
That's the kind of respect I have for Brent.
He was dressed to the nines when we got together.
I mean, I look like, if you look at that picture you and I took together, I look like I have a Jerry curl, but no, that's it. Like I said, I respect Brent, so I'm going to dress appropriately. This is Brent Henson, man. So yeah.
Okay. So whenever you think of my dad, is there a memory that stands out?
Yes. I'm glad you asked me that. Very glad you asked me that. And I apologize if I get over dramatic with my stories, but I'm happy to be on the show. I can't help it. What I think about that I hold near and dear to me. Okay. And I'll do my best to not break down when I tell this story. I hold this near and dear to me is the one year that I played Little League baseball, because I was a tennis player in the summertime when we were growing up, and Brent, your dad and I played Little League baseball together in the summer of 88. And matter of fact, I'm looking at the field right now that we played on, Ed Abraham Field on Whittier and Starkweather. We were on a baseball team. We had somebody that was working with us, and then we didn't have a coach. And then there was a guy, his name was actually Guy. Guy Keeley was his name. And he kind of took over our baseball team. And I remember, like, our first probably 7 or 8 games, I mean, we were getting butchered by everybody. I don't even think we scored any runs probably in 7 or 8 games. I mean, we couldn't hit the ball. We couldn't field nothing. I mean, when I say we couldn't hit the ball, Xavier, we couldn't hit water if we fell out of a boat, okay? That's how bad our hitting was. Guy ended up taking over our team, saying, hey, I'll work with you guys. And he started orchestrating practices for us, you know, a couple days a week. He kind of built, like, some chemistry between us. And I remember the our first game that we won our first game 3-0 against a team called the Skyrockets. And we were so happy
that
we
won. You have a good memory.
I do have a good memory. And another unfair advantage I have, you got to remember, I've lived here the whole time, so I'm, like, around these people all the time, and I've talked about it a lot. We won our first game, and I remember a guy bought a bunch of pizzas for us. We ate pizza right there, and then we went on a little, kind of went on a little winning streak there. And then, now I actually ran into Guy in it was like 2007 or 2008. I recognized him at a gas station, and the only reason I recognized him is because he looked exactly the same as I remembered him, and he sounded the same. And I asked, I said, is your name Guy? He said, yeah. I said, I played on your Little League team. And he's the one who ended up getting us our sponsor by Dunkin' Beagle. We were called the Legal Beagles, Xavier. We had a beagle dog on our shirts. We were called the Legal Beagles. Judge Dunkin' Beagle, who was a famous judge here in Flint. And, yep, Guy got us jerseys and hats and you know, we won a few games. We were having fun. And I remember we lost. It was a game before the city championship. We ended up losing. And a couple of us were crying. And I remember a guy called he called every individual player on the phone at home, basically told us, hey, man, you know, I couldn't be prouder of you guys. You know, keep your head up. You know, this is one of the best experiences I've ever had. He made me feel good. And God rest his soul, you know, he just passed away like 4 months ago. But when I think of Brent, that's the memory that I hold near and dear to me, is the 1 year that him and I played Little League baseball together. And we hung out a lot that summer, in the summer of 88, because I remember we had Mrs. Crawford for fifth grade, and we were very, very close that year. And then we were real close. I seen him all the time in the summertime. We shot basketball at my house. He had a basketball hoop at his parents' house. And we're, you know, so the summer of 88 and our Little League baseball experience is something that I'll always remember when I think of Brent. That's near and dear to me. I'm a sports guy. That out of all the things that I've ever accomplished ever, I would probably put that at the top, because that was just so much fun. I would do everything all over again, and I would do it the exact same way all over again with the same people, especially with Brett.
It was a lot of fun, because I think that was the first time I remember playing organized ball where I had a sponsor and shirt and hat, and it was just a really cool summer.
Yes, that meant everything to us. It still means something to me. That was 32 years ago. That was just, yeah, I agree, Brent. That was great.
And you brought up...
that's what I hold. Yep.
You just to lighten the mood a little bit, you brought up Miss Crawford's class, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong on this, but I remember it happening. It was Miss Crawford's class. It was my birthday in 1988, and some reason or other, somebody thought it'd be funny if you guys would come behind me and pull my pants down.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember that? Were you a part of that?
You know what?
You guys were going to embarrass me on my birthday, and like you trousered me, man.
I'm gonna throw somebody under the bus with that story. That sounds like something I would have done, and I learned that idea from Phil Batzios.
Yeah, that's a Batzios thing.
All the time. He used to pants people all the time. So yes, I was probably behind that. And I blame myself for that one, so I'm sorry.
That's just a funny thing that I remember from Ms. Crawford's class, because that was a fun time. Fifth and sixth grade, those kickball championship games we had at Potter, they were awesome.
Oh, yes. That was a lot of fun. What a time to be alive, man.
I think you answered one of the last questions he has on here. So the question is, do you think my dad's personality now as an adult is different or about the same than when you knew him as a kid? And I think you answered that one. So I don't think we have to go into that kind of in detail, but we had one more on here that Xavier has, and then we'll kind of turn it over to you. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, here we go, Xavier.
Okay. Did you stay in touch with Dad after you two graduated high school?
Okay, 1995. Now, you moved to Tennessee either that year or the year after, didn't you, Brent?
We graduated around Memorial Day weekend of 95, and I moved to Tennessee in August of 95.
Okay, yeah, because you went to college there, right?
Right.
Okay. Back in those days, let me see, when we graduated high school, Xavier, well, no, not for a while, and the reason why we didn't keep in touch is because back in those days, I lived a different lifestyle back then. You know, I was hanging out all the time. You know, I was at the nightclubs and I was doing the nightclub thing, you know, and it was all about me back then. You know, I was very arrogant. The next time that I seen Brent was in 2005 at our 10-year high school reunion. And I remember at that night, I wasn't in a very good place. Emotionally that night. I probably shouldn't have been there, so I really didn't talk to Brent a whole lot. And it wasn't until June of 2016 when a good friend of ours, Erica Starkey, when her two children died in a house fire, that kind of opened my eyes up a little bit, as if to say, you know what, I'm not going to take anything for granted anymore. We're not going to be here forever. And that's why I kind of organized the little Potter meetings once a year, getting back in touch with Brent, you know, making sure Brent's a part of my life, you know, even if it's just send me a text message to cheer me up. So no, there was a good, Xavier, to answer your question. And like I said, I don't mean to get over dramatic. I talk a lot, but, there was probably a good, 20 years where I didn't talk to Brent. I knew he was in Tennessee and I knew he was doing good. And, no, actually, I take that back. It was before 2016. It was when I found out that that he had Crohn's disease. That's when I started talking to Brent a little more. And then he was doing the live when you had that DJ studio where you were showing us how you did it. Remember, I would talk to you live.
Right. It was I did kind of a live stream on in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah. So probably it probably took 17 years. Xavier, where I thought to myself, you know what, my real friends, my close friends, I'm not going to take them for granted anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't get in touch with him probably till, I would say 15, 16 or 17 years after high school graduation.
And that's something obviously we live in a smaller town. And you know, I moved away, but I try to tell Xavier that life isn't middle school. Life isn't high school. There's a whole big world afterwards. So, you know, you can stay in contact with your friends, but this, you know, if you're having troubles in high school, you're having troubles in middle school, it's concentrated that short little time. There's so much left in your life beyond that. So it's just one of those things to kind of hammer home to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know what? It's just that, when I watch your podcast show, no matter what the topic is or the subject is, just hearing your voice, just listening to you talk, it always takes me back to that place because you sound exactly the same. You have the same demeanor. Everything is the same, but you have not changed a thing, man. And I mean that as a compliment. I just love listening to your voice because it just reminds me of when we were kids. I could listen to your voice every day for the rest of my life and feel good, man.
I appreciate that, Ray. And I mean, you are, I don't want you to undersell how much of a positive influence you are in my life and the lives of people that that you know you surround yourself with. You are you've got that driving force behind you, and I think that inspires and encourages a lot of folks.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. You know, my podcast, you know, obviously it's a sports podcast, but it's just my way of giving back to the community because, you know, when you're an athlete and there comes a time where you physically can't do it anymore, you got to give it back. You know, some people coach, some people teach, some people, you know, are athletic directors. This is the way that I know how to do it. I like talking to people and thanking them. And, you know, I had the Davison football team, the state champions. I loved talking to them, giving them advice and all that. And, You know, and I'll tell you what, Brent, when you told me that I inspired you when you heard Randy Scott and I's podcast, when you said that inspired me to start a podcast with Xavier, just the fact that you would say I inspired you in something, that's the best compliment that I have ever received ever in my life. I told Laura's dad that, Bob. I said, that's the best compliment that I've ever received.
Well,
someone like Brent Henson.
You got to look at it this way for me, right, is that, like, I went into broadcasting, so I kind of have somewhat of a background. You're a professional broadcaster. This is something you've taken upon yourself, and you sound like you've been doing it forever because the conversations back and forth, it's just good dialogue to listen to.
Thanks, man. When I talk sports with my friends or when I'm talking to the younger guys, I just basically told them, you know, just sit back, relax, and just picture that we're in your living room talking about the ball game. You know, like the Randy Scott one, like the one that you listened to, that was the first audio podcast that I had done. And that was first take, first time I ever done that. Randy wanted to know if I wanted to do a couple of takes. I said, no, we're going to do this. We're going to do this one like it is. However it sounds, that's how it sounds. So I just enjoy talking about sports with people. And I think I really love talking to the young teenagers more than anybody, because I like to giving advice, and I like tell them about some of my experiences I had, telling them what to stay away from and watch out for this, and
I think we can do that all day long. That's one thing that I learned is, like, you can tell them, don't do what I did, and they're still going to do it because they've got to experience life. Now, you can give them a heads up, and you may reach some of them, but I think there's tons of people that told me stuff, don't do this, don't do that, and then I was just like, well, I got to experience life for myself, and I go and I do it, you know, and then I'm like, why did I do that?
Yeah, you know? I know. You know,
I think it's awesome that you share your experiences with the younger kids, because you have a tendency to be very influential over their lives.
Yeah, I try to, man, because you know what? I was that kid once, you know, and I had mentors that I looked up to and loved, and I still love now, like Mr. Ufinger being one of them. Like when I did that show with Mr. Ufinger, I felt like I was in his classroom, and I was a student. I didn't feel like I was 42 years old. I felt like a 17-year-old kid just looking up to him, and, yeah, it's just this is a pretty cool thing. I wish I would have started this a long time ago, but you know, it's just something I like doing. Now I have a little fun fact for Xavier.
Okay.
And you're going to hear this for the first time too, Bray. You never heard this before. Now I watched your episode, because I watched all of them, but it was the episode where you had Mandy and Leroy on there, where you were talking about the CD. Now your birthday is December 19th. Is that correct, Xavier?
Correct.
Okay. I bowled my only 300 game of my career, and it's online. You can look this up. On your birthday, but it was a year after you were born.
Oh, 2007.
12/19/07 is when I bowled my 300 game, and that was 9 months before my back surgery.
I didn't realize that you'd bowled a 300 game. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Xavier, do you know what a 300 game is?
No.
That's when you bowl the entire 10 frames and you get a strike every single time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. December 19th, 2007. So that's when you had your first birthday. I bowled my 300 game.
Cool.
Yep. So a little fun fact there.
And yeah, it's full circle because Xavier likes to insert lots of fun facts.
Oh, I know. You guys are cool, man. I love your guys' show, man.
All right. So I think those are the questions that he had for you. We'll turn the floor over to you. If you've got something you want to ask him or me, just go for it, man.
Okay. I do have some questions here for both of you guys. Now, the way that I have it on here, like I'll ask you a question, Brent, and then after you're done with that, then I'll go to Xavier. We're going to kind of go back and forth, kind of like the way you and Xavier do, how you take turns.
Okay.
So I'm going to start off. My first question is for Brent. Brent, I want to know, how do you manage to stay positive after everything physically that you've been through, fighting this disease, Crohn's disease, with all the operations and all the appointments? Because, you know, you're always smiling, you're always doing family stuff, and you just seem to be doing great. And because I think there's some people that may have given up. But how do you keep your composure through all these years, considering all the physical pain that you've been through? Because you've definitely influenced a lot of people, myself included.
That's actually a good question, and I think people need to hear this answer. I don't think that I was always that way. I think people get to see me now on the other side of coming to grips with things. But what they didn't see me is from 2000 to 2005, where I was extremely depressed. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to tell anybody about my condition. They didn't really see that side a whole lot. Some folks did, you know, my inner circle did. But a couple of significant things happened. I've talked about this before. Obviously, I was inspired by Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, who came out and, you know, said he had Crohn's disease. I was inspired by that. And, you know, behind me, Mandy was there encouraging me, saying, go, you know, do this. And, you know, she was the positive to my negative then, I think. So that's what people don't see. And then once she kept on me, see, Mandy kept on me for years and years and years to go back to church. And I resisted because I was angry. And then I finally relented and went back. And then I found out a greater appreciation for life and what my purpose is. And it's, you know, even though I have a bad health disease, there are people that have things a lot worse, and it's what I do with what I have, and just to push forward and to make the most out of every day that you can. So as a two-part answer, people didn't see a lot of the down stuff, but I'm glad that people are able to see some of the positive stuff now, because it's like, you know, I would downplay the things that I did, and I would raise money for organizations, and Mandy would say, you have a disease, yes, but look what you've done despite having that disease. And I didn't see that. And it wasn't until I started to recognize, oh, okay. You know, there was a great, maybe there is a reason why I have this disease. Now, I don't like having it, but I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to try to pay it forward and do something positive. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes. That does answer my question. And, I never thought of it that way. You know what? Maybe this happened for a reason to you because you would be the guy. You know what? I never thought of it that way. But like I said, you know, I've told you this years ago, and I mean it today. You've definitely inspired me, because I've had some health issues. You know, I had a back operation. I had to learn how to walk again, you know, in 2008, which was the hardest thing I've ever done. And it's not easy to stay positive, but we both have done that. And you know what, man, we're just getting started, Brent. You and I both are going to be around for a long time. And you know what? In the next 40 or 50 years, you and I may even do some kind of project together. We're just getting started. I promise you that.
I hope so. I think that's awesome. I think it's kind of cool. That's why I like having you on this episode is all these podcast episodes are for Xavier. They're like a time capsule so that he may not get as much out of it today as he will 20 years from now, which I think is cool because he can go back and listen to this conversation that we're having, and he'll pick up on so much more 20 years from now than he will right now, because he'll be like, oh, I didn't get that. Now I get what they're talking about. So I think that's the cool thing.
Yep, you're right. And one thing I was impressed with Xavier was the jury duty episode. Remember he had the calculator in his hand. remember you were saying, what do you do with that calculator? And I was saying that too. I was like, I told Bob, I said, what do you do with that calculator? And then you would talk and like say stuff and he would, you know, hit, punch some digits on there. I'm like, what is he doing? And then at the end, you know, it made sense. You know, he explained in great detail why he was doing it and what he was trying to figure out. And I was like, oh, man, this kid gets it, man. This kid is smart.
Thank you.
That's my everyday, Ray. That's my everyday.
Oh, man. Okay. Xavier, the first question for you, I think I kind of asked this earlier.
Okay.
But, I guess I can ask it again since I've kind of been kind of just blah, blah, blah for the last half hour. I was going to ask you, do people from Michigan have accents? So like maybe like having listened to me for like the last half hour, like do I sound like I'm from Northwest Tennessee or do I sound like I'm from New York?
Can you tell a difference in his voice from how people down here talk?
I mean, it sounds similar to you, but to be fair, I mean, you're from Michigan, so.
Well, and to be fair to Xavier doesn't, do you think Xavier has a Southern draw?
No.
Because we always called
him, really.
He had like a British accent when he was growing up, so that's why we always, he doesn't sound Southern.
The only time that I thought that he had an accent was, I seen an old video where you guys went to go see Cars 3, I think it was.
Yeah.
Is that right? There's a video. Okay, he had that Southern drawl in that one when he was younger. But now, no. He sounds like one of us.
Right.
remember when I didn't say my R's and I sounded like white diss?
Yeah. He did have like a little speech impediment as a child because he couldn't. So maybe he did sound Southern then, but he's definitely middle of the road now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, however you sound, you're very, very intelligent. So that's
Thank
all that
you
matters.
Very much.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Okay, Brent, here's my next question for you. Do you still play the trumpet on occasion?
Funny story. So Xavier went into the band. It was in sixth grade last year, right?
Yeah.
And so they were asking him what he wanted to play. And I was like, hey, I still got a trumpet in the back garage. And so we took the trumpet in and we were thinking, you know, a second generation trumpeter coming up right now. And what did they say about the trumpet?
Like, they said that it was too old. Yeah.
I didn't take as good a care of it as I probably should have. So he got saddled, not saddled, but I mean, he got pushed into, I was hoping that he'd be a trumpeter, but he got pushed into being a tuba player, which it's cool because now I get to sit and listen to him practice the tuba and I can say, that sounds good. You need to work on that. Let's try this. Let's try that. So it's kind of neat.
Fun fact, I actually have my tuba here because on the weekdays, I usually just leave it at the band house because I'm not dragging that thing around all day.
It is very big. So long story short,
that's a big instrument. That is huge.
I do not play the trumpet anymore. I lean more towards I'm more guitar based these days. But I'm always I from these episodes, I love music and I'm always trying to learn new things. So.
Oh yeah.
Aren't you playing the keyboard some more now?
I'm trying to teach myself the keyboards. Yeah.
Wow, man! I tell you what, man. You could play the trumpet, learning the keyboards. That your guitar.
I used to be able to play the trumpet. I don't know if I can do that anymore.
And you can sing well. I saw the video of you singing "Got You Where I Want You" by the Flies. I think you were singing that song. I think I saw that. Did you sing that in a video, Facebook video?
I did. Yeah. And then sometimes we brought Xavier up one time when we played at a winery, and Xavier sang "Sweet Child of Mine" with a full band. It was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Ray.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So you kind of mentioned this earlier and it kind of relates right now. You know the 10th video about that had Mom and Leroy
yeah.
And it was like, well, I listened to Cats in the Cradle and like whenever I listen to it, like I always burst out in tears.
Oh,
like
that's okay.
It's a hard song. Dude. Like it's a hard song to listen to because I hate that song, but I also love that song because it makes you appreciate kids and growing up and that sort of thing. So
yes, but music is very, very powerful, man. Music is powerful.
We sat down after that episode, me and Xavier, and we turned that song on, and like I think that song hit him and he was like, oh, wow, there's the gravity of that, of music. So that's kind of a cool moment.
Yeah, that's probably one of the first times that I've cried that hard because of a song.
Oh, I'll tell you a song that'll make you cry. Now I wasn't around when Brent was making the CD for you. What was it? The 13 songs that you were making for him throughout the years.
Yeah.
If I would have chosen a song for you, Xavier, I would have chosen My Old Man by the Zac Brown Band. That's what I would have chosen.
See,
that song gets to me.
I haven't heard that. So that's what I love about music. People can inspire people to listen to new things. Now I want to go listen to that song.
Yeah. Watch the video when you watch that on YouTube or whatever. It's
definitely.
It's a very that you know, and you know, Brent, you know, me and my father were very, very close. My, you know, father passed away 8 years ago, but that song is that song will make you cry, I think. You still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now let me see. The next question is for Xavier.
Okay.
I remember in an old episode that you said you were taking tennis lessons.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you're still playing or taking the lessons, but how was that coming along, the tennis lessons, and did you have fun doing it?
Yeah, I'm having fun doing it. We started a couple of weeks ago for school, and we've got three new coaches, and they're all right. I will admit I kind of like my other one a little more, though, but still, they're all right.
Okay.
Although I said this in the intro, but we haven't really been playing outside very much because it's been raining a lot down here, and we've been doing a lot of conditioning, and I know that that's important, but yeah, it's breaking my bones.
So I guess that's a good thing back to you. So you play tennis, and you're a good athlete all around. Give him some advice on being a tennis player or being an athlete.
When I was growing up, Xavier, when I was your age and a little bit younger, I grew up in a tennis family because I have two older sisters. My oldest sister, she's known as being the best female tennis player that ever was from this city. Because when me and your dad were growing up, tennis was big in the area over here. And so I was under her tutelage, her training, her rigorous training, I should say. Nothing was given to me. Tennis is a great game because what I liked about tennis when I was playing at your age, Xavier, is you had all these, you know, my sister was coaching all these city kids that were from the inner city. And we would go to like other country clubs and play tennis against these, you know, like rich, privileged kids, you know. And you know, I'm not saying all of them, you know, because most of them were good people. But of course, you had the parents that were a little uneasy because you had these city kids coming to their country clubs. And we would just roll everybody that we played because my sister was the best at what we did. And the thing about athletics, I know you're not big on sports. I remember you said zero a bunch of times when your dad met sports. I know what that means now.
I think it was on the Super Bowl, and like somebody came up to me and said, "So who are you voting? So who are you rooting for?" And I said zero. Yeah.
The thing, okay, to answer your dad's question, I think that like in your case, the tennis lessons. I think why sports can be a good thing for somebody your age is because it teaches you what you're made of. Because, you know, like the things that you do, like when you're preparing for tennis or learning or whatever it is that you're doing, it actually prepares you for the real world because they teach you to be on time. You know, you have to be a good follower. Follower meaning, you know, listening to your coaches. That's if you have good coaches, you know, listen to your coaches, give it everything you have, just like you do when you're at a job or at school or whatever. You know, it teaches you to persevere. It teaches you the meaning of the word sacrifice. It definitely keeps you out of trouble because sports kept me out of trouble. Because when we were growing up, you know, there was parts of our area that was like a gang infested area, like especially when we were growing up. It's kind of the gang stuff's kind of died down, but I could have easily got sucked up into that stuff, but I didn't. I chose athletics as as a way of escaping all that. So it kept me out. It can keep people out of trouble that need to be kept out of trouble. So they're like, you know, even if somebody doesn't like sports, there's a lot of positives that come out of that, and you learn a lot about yourself if you go about it the right way. That doesn't mean you have to win every game or every match, but as long as you're playing it the right way, and that means showing up on time, doing what your coaches ask, being a good team player, That's the way that you will be when you're an adult, because when you're working or when you have your own business, whatever, you know, like obviously the stuff that your parents teach you, your teachers, also your sports coaches, you know, you take stuff from them, you know, because like my high school football coach, you know, he taught me how to be a man. So, yeah. So that's what you get out of athletics. It teaches you a lot about yourself.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that's the Henson family creed, Ray, is if you're 10 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Thank you for telling him that stuff. I think that's good for someone other than like me and his mom to hear that from.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate, I love your guys' questions. Okay. My next one is for Brent here. Oh, this will be an interesting one. Now you can only choose one. Okay, Brent.
Okay.
If you could take something, from Flint, meaning like, you know, like Big John steak and onion or something. Like when you come to Flint, you know how you have to go here. I got to go here and eat this and whatever it is. If you could take something back to Union City, what would you take back with you?
Man, like, so I'm going to narrow it down between, three or four things. And then I think I know which one I'm going to go with. Fries, well done with the gravy, is one from Angelo's. A Coney, which it can be from Starlight or Angelo's. Big John, steak and onion. Cantonese Gourmet. Oh, I forgot about Cantonese Gourmet. And then this is funny. You're going to laugh at this one. Yaya's Chicken.
Oh, absolutely. Healthy.
That's a deep cut right there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say a Big John steak and onion, because no joke, one time we left Flint at like 10 o'clock in the morning, we stopped by Big John's, I got one and ate it then, and then I got a second one and I ate it like somewhere in Illinois. I love Big John's.
Big John's.
And that's a sad
I'm so
thing for Xavier.
That's right in my neighborhood.
Xavier doesn't eat a lot of different foods, and he's missing out on fries well done with gravy, man. They're so good.
The way I see it, it means more for him.
Exactly. I'm fine with that. Oh, man. And then I forgot about Luigi's Pizza with vinegar on top. Man, like, seriously, love Flint food. I love it.
I'm going to Luigi's later on. I might even take a picture of myself taking a bite out of a pizza, and I'm probably going to send it to you. Matter of fact, I know I'm going to do that.
Man, I love me some Luigi's.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow. It's interesting. Okay, Xavier, you got the next question here.
Okay.
Speaking of, now, if I ever come to Union City, Tennessee, which is very possible because I live my life on the road during the week, and I'm in Tennessee quite a bit. So if I'm ever in Union City, I need a good pizza recommendation, like a restaurant. So where would you suggest that I go try some good pizza at? And Little Caesars don't count. Hungry Howie's don't count. I want a restaurant.
Well, I'm really the wrong one to ask, really.
Really is. I'm trying to think what he... probably Snappy Tomato is the one that we go to the most as far as pizza.
Yeah, I think...
And you got to remember, we're not a big town. We're a small town, so our choices are very limited.
Does Domino's count?
No.
Okay, then.
Well, Scott's Grill's got good pizza too. So there's some local establishments that are good. But yeah, Xavier eats the exact same thing every day, and he has no problems with that, which blows my mind.
Oh, okay. Now I have a question for both. This is the same question, but this is for both of you. I want both of you to answer this. Does pineapple belong on pizza as an item?
Xavier and I have this. He asked me this. We have this debate a lot, and I have a firm answer, and like I stand by it. So,
actually, I actually watched a video about pineapple and pizza, and like, I mean, I wouldn't eat it, but I mean, yeah, I can see why. And if you say, fruit doesn't belong in pizza. Now that I think about it, tomatoes.
I am a firm believer in pineapple on pizza. I love a Hawaiian pizza. I'm not ashamed to say I like a Hawaiian pizza. And if you have a problem with that, I'm not going to back down.
Actually, fun fact, the pineapple on pizza was not made in Hawaii. It was actually made in Canada.
I did not know that.
Again, I didn't know that either. I can't say that I knew that.
Again, the pineapple on pizza episode.
Okay. All right. Okay, Brent, it's your turn. Okay. I have a question for Brent now. Jason Smith, this is a Jason Smith question. If you could relive a memory, a good memory from back in the day, you know, where you just say to yourself, man, we had so much fun that day, man, and I wish we could, you know, I wish I could do that all over again. What night would you relive with Smitty?
It's funny. So Jason and I, Uncle Jason, we were close as kids, but as we become adults, we've become a lot closer. We don't like stay and call each other a whole lot. We text back and forth, and especially since we both become fathers. There was a time, it was right before I left for college and right before he left to go to GVSU, where we spent the day together and we rode our bikes like out to Walmart, and we just took a day and it was just us riding. That was an awesome day. It was like July or August of 95. And it was just me and him just hanging out. And I think that was a really, that day still stands out in my memory for some reason. And we had some crazy times with the River Bottom folks. I'm actually wearing my River Bottom shirt today.
I
had some memorable times hanging out with Smitty and the RBN folks. But just that time with me and him together where we were just kind of, it was like a turning point in our life where he was getting ready to go to GVSU. I was getting ready to go to UTM and be in Tennessee, and we were going to be split up, and we got to spend a day together and just kind of hang out. So that's one I remember.
Oh, cool. That's great. That's a great answer. That's a great answer. Smitty's a good guy. I got nothing but respect for him. Yep. Okay. All right, Xavier, the next question is for you, buddy.
Okay.
It says here, if you could do a one-on-one podcast interview with anybody in the world, okay, where you are the host, and you could interview this person at the Ryman in front of an audience. Yes, I learned that from you guys, the Ryman. If you could interview anybody in the world, podcast interview, who would that person be?
I don't know.
That is a good question.
So it'd be in front of a live audience.
Did I pronounce that right? Did I pronounce that right? The Ryman? Did I say that right?
That's right.
Or as I used to call it, the Ramen.
No, it is Ryman. Would it be a movie star, voice actor, or something like that?
Anybody that lives on planet Earth.
Dang it.
Anybody.
I really don't know.
I think back in the day, it would have been a YouTube star.
Probably still would be.
Yeah, probably the kids today, like this YouTube thing it blows my mind. So I think it would probably be, or maybe somebody from like Star Wars or something like a TV show you like.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know, honestly. Like, probably, I think I might actually know.
Okay.
So his name, it is a YouTube star. Mm-hmm. It's a channel called The Odd Ones Out, or as James from The Odd Ones Out, or as you like to call him, Sewer Boy Guy, because he talks about his time working at Subway, but he calls it Sewer Boy.
So these YouTube stars, like, they're big deal to kids these days. I don't get it, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm always watching YouTube. I watch Wrestling Shoot Interview podcast probably every day when I'm not busy. That's all
Ray,
I do. I'm a YouTuber.
Ray, I'm right there with you, buddy. That's my Achilles heel. I love shoot interviews. Like, people, like, I am a closet wrestling fan, and then when it comes out, if somebody asks me, I'm not going to be shy about it, but I don't, like, promote that I'm a huge wrestling fan. I listen to podcasts. Right. I listen to shoot interviews. I love hearing stories about the glory days of wrestling. I do.
I do too, and I love hearing about how life was on the road, you know, like stories that you never would hear unless you hear somebody talking about it. I just think that's cool.
So we were enjoying a nice Saturday afternoon conversation with Ray, and Xavier looked up at our recorder, which we record in a GarageBand, and he's like, hey, Dad, it stopped recording. So apparently we ran out of time in GarageBand. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Thank you for noticing, though. Yeah. So we had...
Could have gone on for a long time and we wouldn't have even noticed.
Yeah. Just keep checking. Yeah. So we had to cut our conversation with Ray short. He wasn't able to say goodbye, but that leaves the door open for Ray to come back and talk to us again. So I'm really excited that we were able to do a phone call interview. Did you... you haven't met Ray before, but he obviously watches our podcast and thinks a lot of you. Did you enjoy the insights and learning about a little bit more about me from someone else's perspective and kind of taking in some of the things that he was talking about?
Yeah, that was really fun to listen to.
What was one of the things that he talked about that kind of stood out the most?
When he was talking about tennis and when he was giving me the advice for it, like how it teaches you responsibilities.
Yeah, and I know Ray as a football player. Like, I remember him as a football player, but I also remember him being a hardcore tennis player, and he practiced and he was up at those courts all the time. So he had some good sound advice for you. We're going to wrap up this week's episode. It's one of our longer episodes, but we had a lot of fun talking to Ray. I did. I got to catch up and talk about some things I hadn't thought about in years. So I want to say a special thanks to Ray Asensio. Check out his podcast, D-Suite Nation. And we'll be back hopefully sooner rather than later with episode number 3 of Conversations for Ourselves. Do you have I usually come up with the subjects. Do you have any subject that you really that's pounding away that you want to cover?
I don't know.
You need to put more thought in. I think I do a lot of the work. I think he does this just to humor me, which is fine. I mean, it's more like it's a thing we do together, and it's a lot of fun.
I guess you could say that's pretty humorous.
Oh, Lord. All right. We're going to put to a close the episode 2 of season 2 of our conversation with Ray Asensio. See, I told you, you and I are a lot alike. And it could be a good thing or a bad thing. I have no idea. It could be bad for you. Yeah. All right. So until next time, I'm Brent. This is Xavier. Thank you for tuning to Conversations with Myself.
A journey of self-discovery.
Bye. See you later, Potter Panthers for life.